Hi, this is Bob Fetrakis bringing you the other side of the news, WGRN 94.1.
Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Today's show, we have my law partner on, Constance Goodell Newton.
Hello.
Who's been involved in many of the defenses of people arrested in the Black Lives Matter movement. We'll talk to her about those and other pending social issues. Welcome to the other side of the news. You used to be the co-host originally.
Thanks, Bob. It's good to be here. Yeah, thank you.
What are you up to these days? I know you're involved in a variety of cases. And more importantly, what are the Columbus police up to?
Thank you. Yeah, Bob. So it has been a pretty wild past few months as we've seen downtown. I have been there in person to kind of see a lot of what's going on. I've been a protester. And I have also worked with some of the people who've been arrested on those cases. You know, we're seeing a lot of different police tactics. They're basically up to the same things that they've always done with protesters. Basically charged a lot of people with rioting who were peaceful protesters, but then the police come in with rubber bullets, wooden bullets, chemical weapons, noise weapons, things like that, then charge protesters with rioting. A couple tactics that we've seen recently is police coming after the fact with warrants, and people don't even know that they have a warrant out for their arrest, and then they're arrested when they haven't been doing anything. But there are, a group of dedicated people who are down there. Actually, from May to August, the protests have basically been pretty constant, protesting against police brutality, which, there have been some changes and reforms and talk of that stuff. But for the most part, it seems like the police have been left unchecked and are still doing a lot of the dangerous tactics, tactics that are very dangerous to the public, like these chemical weapons. You see police officers pushing people with their bikes. So you have the bike officers and they're picking their bike up and shoving it into protesters, knocking them down on the ground. Sometimes if somebody tries to help up somebody who's been knocked down on the ground, they're charged with a crime. So that's the type of thing that I have seen a lot lately. With the rioting charges, basically the definition of riot in the Ohio Revised Code is any group of four or more people who are committing disorderly conduct. And the disorderly conduct statute is so broad that it could be just about any type of behavior.
Did they have to be colluding, working together, or just four random being disorderly?
It seems pretty fast and loose that if there are, a group of protesters that they seem to be charging people who are present in the same area who are engaged in a course of disorderly conduct. So, that's pretty, and rioting is a first degree misdemeanor. So that's actually a very serious misdemeanor. If there's any violence alleged, then it can be a felony. And the thing about the violence is that often when police officers violently arrest somebody, if you're being attacked by a police officer and, panic a little bit, maybe push out defensively or something like that, or even if
they
don't,
they're hitting you, they're macing you.
Right. They may be macing people, pepper spraying. You might not even know what's going on because you have pepper spray in your face or something. And so if the police are violent, often they're charging people with felony rioting charges, possibly to insulate themselves. But if there's any kind of like pushback, but often it is when the police are being violent that the so-called rioters are getting charged with felony riot charges.
Right. And that's the hammer, right? They get you to plead to a misdemeanor because they're holding a felony over your head.
And now, that's pretty much how the plea bargaining system has always worked. And you do see that, you know, in our justice system quite a lot, that prosecutors or police departments are charging people, you know, overcharging people so that they can get them on something. Because, wow, a misdemeanor sure sounds good once you've been charged with a felony. It sounds and like again, you're really getting off easy, you know.
And again, are they, there's been talk that they're targeting people and that they're also keeping activists' cell phones, perhaps going after data. Have you heard any of that?
I think we certainly strongly suspect that. I mean, we know that it's a tactic of Homeland Security to monitor social media. Facebook has the ability to do facial recognition. And while they may say that they're not really supposed to use that, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, they're using what they can to monitor people, to surveil activists. And, you know, they're looking at things like people's tattoos. So any pictures of their tattoos that may show up in social media, the facial recognition software, I believe, is used. They're looking at people's Facebook profiles to get that information. I would say maybe more at the federal level, there have been the vans. I don't know if you guys heard about the vans. They're unmarked vans where they're pulling up and grabbing people. So that's happened in other cities, but has happened in Columbus as well, where there are some mysterious vans that are pulling up. I think that it's thought that they're probably feds, but they may, at some point the protesters and activists thought that these may just be white supremacist groups that were working with the Columbus police. I think it's unclear. You know, I do think that a lot of times the feds are not, you know, uniformed and marked the same way that local police officers are. So that may be the case. But yeah, certainly they may take people's phones, look through that, look at people's communications. They're supposed to get a warrant for that. You know, I was aware of a person whose phone was taken. After many requests, it wasn't clear that they had gotten a warrant. It wasn't clear really what they were doing with that phone. And I believe it's eventually been returned to them, but they held on to it for several weeks. And the question is, why would they need that if there was, you know, was there an evidentiary reason for that in the case that this person was involved in? Or, you know, were they basically just farming that phone for more information about other activists, which I think, you know, certainly happens in some of those cases.
So the harvesting of data, perhaps. And did they not target medics? There's been talk, I've seen it on social media, that they arrested people associated with giving medical aid to demonstrators.
Yeah, I think that has certainly happened. So
and towed some of their cars.
Yes.
Ticketed some.
Yes, I have heard about that. Yeah. So, you know, typically in these protest situations, the protesters know that, you know, people are going to be out there in the heat, that they need water, they need food, they might need sunblock just on a regular day. But yeah, when people are being pepper sprayed by the police, they may need to have their eyes washed out. You know, there were people who have collapsed from heat exhaustion, and medics and legal observers have been targeted in other cities and in Columbus. They've towed cars of medics. You know, I think that they, you know, are aware of the people who are there every day or, you know, frequently there. And we'll try to find ways that they can get them so that they can cut the movement down. You know, they're doing a lot of arrests. You know, I get calls every couple days that more people have been arrested, calls or text messages that people have been arrested, they need an attorney, or they want to know what happened. Sometimes they may do a catch and release, so they just slate that person and release them, but a lot of times they are arrested. But yeah, I think as far as the medics, I've heard of some of the police officers taking masks off of people or their goggles, and spraying them in the face. So they're doing this very maliciously. When you go up to somebody and pull their mask off or pull their goggles off and spray them in the face, they're doing that to inflict pain and for the purposes of punishment. It's not for a legitimate crowd control or public safety interest. They're just aggravating a crowd control situation. They're not controlling it.
And there's been talk about, and you mentioned that these ghost warrants or silent warrants that some people might not even know they've had, that they've been able to issue warrants against people.
Yeah, I mean, imagine a scenario when somebody they're walking in the street or they're doing something that is technically maybe not legal or something. Sometimes the police are targeting them. They'll do an affidavit of probable cause after the fact instead of arresting them on the spot. So clearly it doesn't have a crowd control purpose. They're just trying to punish the activists and trying to take out as many activists as they can and give them misdemeanor and felony charges to discourage people from protesting, to ruin their careers, to punish them for speaking out against police violence.
This is The Other Side of the News, streaming to you from the Indie Media Studios of the Free Press Network on YouTube, but also available online at WGRN.org. Plus, listen to us on Columbus, Ohio's two volunteer-run low-power FM radio stations, Friday at 5:30 p.m. on 94.1 FM, The Green Renaissance, and rebroadcasted Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on WCRS, the community radio station, both 92.7 and 98.3. FM.
You're listening to WGRN 94.1, The People's Voice. I'm talking to attorney Constance Goodell Newton, who has been involved in defending various people arrested from the Black Lives Matter movement. So how is this all going to work out? Have they changed any policies? You mentioned there's been talk about changing policies.
Bob, I'm not really sure. I'm not aware of actual policies that have been changed. I know that at one point the city was trying to rein in the police and, you know, say, hey, let people protest. And then I believe the FOP basically wrote a letter to the mayor and said that they were not going to respect the opinion of the mayor and city council, because there were a number of Black politicians who were sprayed with pepper spray from city council, the county, and our U.S. representative. They were sprayed with pepper spray, and clearly, you know, I mean, they were there for political reasons, for political speech. They were not breaking windows, I don't believe, you know, or something like that.
So if they're going to mace a U.S. representative, the president of city council, Shannon Harden, a county commissioner, we can only imagine how they treat average citizens, or what looks like trying to decapitate, to isolate and target the leadership of the movement.
Right. And all of the politicians, I would note, were African American. So it just shows how they view people, how, you know, what they're willing to do to our Black community members, even at the top of that community. So it just shows immense disrespect for our Black community members and for the people of Columbus in general. There are many, many white allies and people of all skin colors out there protesting for Black lives, because frankly, by this time, we're all fed up with the police violence. I think that we know that whatever they can do to the weakest or the most vulnerable of our community members, they can do to anybody. So I think that, as white allies are looking around, we don't want our neighbors or, you know, teachers don't want their students treated this way. It's really troubling that that they would behave in this way, even going to attack the Black politicians in our city. And so as far as change, I know that there have been some who wanted to, but I really, I do think that union contract is something that needs to be addressed. They need to not renew the contract with the FOP or make major changes. But I would just say there are some cities that don't have a police union, and they don't have the issues, like the frightening issues that we have in our city, where they're just really allowed to get away with murder and not be held accountable.
So there's a famous picture of a black man with his hands up in Columbus, and he's being, tear gassed or, gassed with this huge industrial size fogger. So, what do you do? Clearly, some have suggested these are blue riots. They're not Black Lives Matter riots. It's that the police appear to be rioting. And you mentioned this with the bicycle cops. It looks like they use those bikes as weapons, cause panic, harm people. And then if you try to get up or get away and you don't stand there and let the bike ram into you, they then charge you for resisting their bike in your face.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much what's going on. I mean, and it's just, it's really not a fair fight, Bob, because basically these are people, and I mean the activists who are going out in good faith and trying to exercise their First Amendment constitutional rights. We have the right to voice our opinion in public and to protest and to gather peacefully, demand the redress of grievances from our government, and that is a constitutional right that we have. It does not say in the U.S. Constitution that you have to have a permit to go do that. You're allowed to protest. You're allowed to have your free speech rights. And, I think it's really disturbing when the message that they're trying to get out is, hey, there's too much police violence. We're tired of police killing our neighbors or killing our family members. And then the people who are charged with enforcing public safety, quote unquote, are violently attacking these First Amendment protesters and then able to charge them with a crime. And, a crime of any degree can really impact somebody's ability to rent a home, to get credit, to have a job. It impacts people in so many ways, to have a license, to be licensed
incredibly
to do something.
Incredibly stressful.
It's very stressful.
To exercise your rights. And in cases, I know you've had cases where people show up, they see what essentially is the police rioting and attacking people, and they turn around to leave, and they're hunted down and arrested.
Yeah, I've talked to numerous people and even witnessed people who are standing on the sidewalk and the police are attacking them while they're on the sidewalk. There was a young man who was thrown over his bicycle, and he was just standing with his bicycle lawfully at the corner of the street. Two cyclists that evening were arrested. And when the police arrived, protesters were in a very orderly line holding signs and saying, free speech things. And then one car of police officers, it looked like a supervisor, rode up and started to talk to a couple people. And then immediately four more cars arrived and they started grabbing people. And it's just really disturbing to have witnessed that. Basically, it went from a very uneventful, peaceful kind of like people holding signs. There were not a ton of people there. It was not anything like a riot or anything like that. People are standing there. And then multiple police officers. So first four cars came, then multiple more cars came up. And they really just started grabbing people and arresting them. And it was, really... there was not a public safety reason for doing that. People were not blocking the street. It's just kind of bewildering, to know the context of some of those protests. And the police are coming out, and I really think that they're angry because someone wants to hold them accountable. And, so it's very disturbing to see that kind of chilling effect. You know, they're trying to have a chilling effect on people's free speech. It's very disturbing. And it is something that, even though I was further away from that crowd that evening, it really made me think twice about going out to protest, because people who were really literally not doing anything wrong were just getting grabbed and arrested and thrown around, you know, thrown over their bicycle, or, you know, it's very disturbing.
And a lot of that may be to suppress the movement, decapitate the leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, anybody who is identified as somebody who's a regular protester, who's there multiple times, will become a target. I know that the police frequently point people out in the crowd to each other, to say, you know, there's a person of interest. And I really don't think that people have to be doing anything illegal to come across their radar and to get the attention, because there are people who are just out there to hold a sign or to support others, to support people in their community, and they're getting grabbed and arrested.
And now you've got the situation in Kenosha in Wisconsin, where essentially vigilantes showed up, militias, to back the police. You've got two people dead following a black man being shot 7 times in the back. And we've had, at the State House, you've had, up to 1,000 people, virtually all of them armed, and they seem to be treated differently as heavily armed white people than the unarmed Black Lives Matter protesters.
Right. And I really think that a lot of what is going on, both, at the protests and just ordinarily in life, is that, people are viewing, somebody who has darker skin as just a threat in themselves, regardless of their behavior. You may have like tons of armed white vigilantes who they're like, oh, well, it's the Second Amendment. You have to, it's open carry. You have to let them do their thing. But then, when a African American man has a open carry, then he's immediately a target. So, there's a huge double standard there. People act as if the Second Amendment was written for white people, and perhaps it was, but now we're supposed to have equality, and, I think that there's a huge equal protection issue with the enforcement of the Second Amendment, that we have to worry about. But yeah, even unarmed protesters, they're acting as if they're a huge threat, and really, my feeling is that the police don't like it because they're getting called out. Nobody likes to be called out.
And of course, they have qualified immunity. That is, for the most part, you can't sue them or they won't be arrested for actions that an average person would be arrested for.
It's really not a fair fight, Bob. They will come up and abuse people, protesters and just regular citizens. Abuse them, and if anybody like pushes back to try to get some space, then they're assaulting an officer. Meanwhile, the officer's pounding on them, or worse. There's a huge double standard. It's not a fair fight. Anytime a citizen tries to defend themselves, they can be charged with a felony. But what are they supposed to do? Sometimes, if you don't defend yourself, you could pay with your life. So it's like a felony or your life in some cases. So I really think that our justice system needs a lot of changes. Qualified immunity is something that needs to be revisited and thrown out in these cases. It was a legal precedent that was designed just to protect these white supremacists police officers. And I really think that we have to look at white supremacy and how this is all designed and built, because the police, you know, it's known that the police were basically evolved out of slave catchers. When they're enforcing the law and criminality has been defined in a certain way to focus its attention on Black Americans. And we have to stop the insanity in this country, Bob. We have to start recognizing the humanity of all of our neighbors, regardless of skin color, and really make some changes to the law and how it's applied. Otherwise, there's gonna continue to be a lot of civil unrest. And, you know, I really fear for my neighbors.
And that's Constance Goodell Newton of Phitrakis Goodell Newton. And again, we do, while you do a very great job, and I assist you on occasion in defending people, we also do PI, and we really like to sue debt collectors who often illegally harass people. So, you know, the system is often designed to protect the rich, the corporate capitalist, and our law firm often is standing up for the people.
Yeah, we do a lot of different practice areas. So I would just encourage anybody who has legal issues to give us a call. We do personal injury, debtor defense, real estate. I have a real estate license now. So I have a lot of African American clients that I'm trying to help buy a home or business. So I'm happy to help with that. Civil cases, criminal cases. We do a lot. And so what we can't do, we can try to help you find some resources, refer you. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Constance, for being on the other side of the news.
Thanks, Bob. It's been great.
Then hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.